So strategies is a lot of fun. It's very powerful. I want to give it some context first. Now, these are some presuppositions. So what I'm going to say with these here is, these are not the law. These are not, you know, I'm not saying these are absolutely how everything is and always is and always will be, always was. They're useful ways to think about behavior when it comes to strategies. So even if you don't completely agree with them, just try them on. And when you're working with strategies, if you go into it with these sort of presuppositions, they're going to help you a lot. So first one is, all behavior is intended. Now there's an NLP presupposition that says all behavior is positively intended. That's another discussion. Sometimes that trips people up because then they start bringing up all these really egregious examples, and then I have to go into explaining how it could be possible for each one to be positively intended. That's not what we're going to do today, but just in general, that all behavior is intended. Behavior is just not happening for no reason. All behavior has a purpose. It's kind of another way of saying all behavior is intended. There is a purpose to all behavior. All behavior is seeking an outcome. So it is outcome focused. The behavior is not just happening just to happen. It has an intent, it has a purpose, and it has something in its, that it's going to compare it to, that some sort of comparing evidence to use to know what exactly it's looking for. Or I say looking for, that's a very visual word. It could come in various ways. So all behavior is seeking an outcome. Now, traditional therapy, and things have changed since the 70s and 80s whenever they were developing this, but traditional therapy a lot was focusing on behavior and how to change behavior. Bandler and Grinder come in and say, well, it's not so much about changing behavior, it's about finding out what the outcome of that behavior, what is the outcome that that particular behavior is trying to get, what is it seeking, and then how do we maybe change the behavior and still keep the outcome? Or maybe we've outgrown the outcome. So if we change the outcome, then the behavior changes. So they decided to go about it a different way, and it worked extremely effectively. And I know modern therapy has shifted that a little bit. It's not so behavior focused on just changing the behavior. All behavior is useful and appropriate in some context. This is the reason why a behavior is created at all. It has, in some context, at some point in the person's life, they created this behavior with an intent, with a purpose, seeking a particular outcome. Now, things change. We get older. The same sort of behaviors that achieved our outcomes when we were 5 are not going to be the same as now. And that's why, but some people haven't changed their strategies. And so this is where we run into problems. This is where we run into that dysfunctional type behavior. Any questions about these? And to give some perspective to strategies, I pulled in the neurological levels. Everybody remember this? Okay. So the neurological levels are environment, behavior, capabilities, beliefs and values, identity, vision, and mission. Strategies falls in the capabilities area. So behavior supports the strategies, okay? And the strategy governs the behavior. So if you have a strategy with an outcome in mind, which all strategies have outcomes, that's going to govern what behavior you engage in. The strategy or the capability also supports your beliefs and values. The beliefs and values govern the capabilities or the strategies. So if you don't believe you can do something, you're not going to create a strategy to do it. But if you believe it's possible, then you could create a strategy if that's the outcome that you want. Does that make sense? So the lower levels support, the higher levels govern the lower levels.
Can you repeat what you just said about which levels do what?
So as the levels go up, each one supports the one above it.
Okay.
And then as the levels go down, they govern the levels below it.
Okay.
So that's why what happens is if you change a belief, you're going to see most likely a change all the way down here. But say you have a problem and you know, people do try to run away from their problems. They think, oh, if I just move away, everything's going to be fine. I won't have this problem anymore. They move to a different environment, so they change the environment. It doesn't change their behavior, their capabilities, beliefs, identity. Now, it can. So some people will say that. They'll say, okay, I used to be a smoker. I moved to California, where they don't allow smoking in a lot of public places, and I stopped smoking. Well, it's not so much the environment that changed. It's they reevaluated on one of these levels what the smoking was, brought to their attention by the environment, but they went up into here somewhere and changed something here, and then it came back down and changed their behavior. That's typically how that goes. So I'm not saying it's impossible that change couldn't affect the upper levels. It can. It can go either way, but in general, that's the way that it works. Right. Any other questions? Okay. Now, the tote is something you'll see in a lot of NLP books and a lot of NLP training. It's not was not created by NLP, actually. As I'm looking up and trying to find my pictures and words and everything, I can't remember. There was a guy named Miller, and there's a few other names that they created this, and it was actually prior to, I think it was in the 1950s or the 1960s, where they created this idea of the tote, that this was sort of the DNA of all behavior. So if you think about the presuppositions that I told you about before, about all behavior having an outcome and an intent and a purpose, this fits right into this. So what happens is you test, and the first test is you don't have the result that you want. You don't have the outcome that you want. That's kind of the present state. So you go into an operation to change that, and then you go back and test it again. And then if you've reached your outcome, you just exit. You've got what you want, you're done. The behavior doesn't need to keep going on and on because you've already gotten what you want. However, though, if it doesn't meet the test, then you go back into operate, and you'll cycle through this back and forth until the evidence that you're using as your desired state matches up to what the outcome is, then you exit. Okay? So think of this as sort of like the DNA of behavior. And when we're about to get into more of the strategies and the sequence of it, you'll see what I mean. And what will happen a lot of times is you're cycling through different representational systems. You have maybe an image of what you want to achieve. And that doesn't have to be an image, I'm just using that. You might have an image of what you want to achieve, and then you're going about different ways to achieve that image. And until you achieve that the way it looks, which is your outcome, you're going to keep operating and testing until you get there. Now, an example of this is, say I pick up a pencil, and just by looking at the pencil, I see that it's dull, and I don't want to write with a pencil like that because I know what that's like, and it's kind of irritating. So I take a pencil sharpener, and I sharpen that pencil, and I pull it out, and I'm looking at it. So that would be using a visual test. You could also use a kinesthetic test by actually writing with the pencil to see how it writes. And until it writes like I want it to, or until that tip looks like I want it to, I'm going to keep operating, sharpening the pencil, and I'm going to keep testing it by writing with it or looking at it. And then once it's what I want, I'm going to exit. So does that make sense? So think another useful way to think about it is you're hammering a nail. Okay, put a nail, I hammer it, and that would be the first test is where did that nail stop in the wood? If it went all the way through, then I'm done. I exit out. That's what I wanted to do. But most likely, that's not going to happen on the first hit. So I hit the nail. It goes parts of the way through the wood. That's the operation. It was hitting the nail. I look at the nail. It's not all the way through. That's my test. I need to operate again. And I keep operating and testing until the nail is all the way through the wood. Once it's flush with the wood, and either I do that visually, or I wipe my hand across the wood and kinesthetically feel that, then I exit. The nail went through the wood, I'm done. Okay. You're looking at me like, you got it? Okay, cool. Any questions about this? So just, all you need to have is an understanding about this.
Just what are we going to do with it? That's all.
Okay, we're getting there.
How do you apply in the body, for example, if somebody's changing the behavior, how do you test? Do you have to register somehow and say, okay, you're done, now you can exit? What is it? How do you use that?
Okay, so this is not an NLP process to use. This is not the strategy yet. I'm just giving you sort of like what I call the DNA of behavior. And this is how behavior works. You have the piece that NLP adds to this is the evidence that you have some way of, and this goes right into the well-formed outcome. You have some sort of evidence that you're using to compare. the test. That is the test, is you operate and then you go to the comparison and you have some sort of image or feeling in your mind that that test needs to match up with. And if it doesn't match up with, you keep operating until you get it.
My question is, I know there's a lot of recovering entities where people can go and get recovered from any kind of stuff. However, they call themselves, I am recovering alcohol. Mm-hmm. So, or something like that. All their life, they call themselves recovering alcohol. And it seems like they never have this exit. That's why I'm asking, how do you apply that into real life situation?
That's a very good question. Mm-hmm. A very, very good question. And that's why, I guess, this is where the, I guess, the NLP attitude comes in and says, well, nothing is impossible. And says that, you know, you can recover, make a full recovery from alcoholism. I'm not saying that NLP says that. I'm not saying that all NLP people are supposed to believe that or anything like that. But that would be the idea, that there is an exit point. There is a time where you can get beyond this, because there was a period where you weren't an alcoholic. And then maybe you became an alcoholic, and then you can recover from it fully. So, I mean, it's that's a matter of attitude. I'm not going to... that's also a belief issue, and it's a matter of what you believe. But yeah, there is no exiting. If you continue to identify that way, then yeah, there's not an exit. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, just have an understanding of this. It'll probably gel a little bit later. Maybe not today, but at some point it'll snap. Okay, so these are the phases of strategies, and you'll find this on page 84. There's elicitation, so that's actually eliciting a strategy from someone, how they go about doing something, whether that's creating a problem or creating a success. You can do either one. Then there's designing strategies. Has anybody read NLP Volume 1? Partially. Not many people who have read the whole thing. That's a very hard book to get through. And it's a lot about designing strategies, and they put formulas up there that just like go across the page, sometimes probably onto the second page of how they go about designing it. I think things have gotten a little bit simpler in NLP since then, but they would come up with these really incredible designs of designing strategies, and a lot of them were modeled off of very successful people. And it's pretty fascinating. We won't get into too much of that, but you can actually design strategies. And then there's learning or installation. Installation is one of those NLP words that was used basically from computers. So you see the terminology kind of changing, so it's more about learning a strategy. So it's really cool because you can model your own strategy for where you're successful in one area, and then take another area where you're not so successful and then run that and see if you can take on that new strategy and learn it for the new context.
Is that mapping across?
They don't refer to it as that, but yes, essentially that is mapping across. And that kind of is what the utilization is about too. But so the thing is about learning or installing, you can learn someone else's strategy. You can learn one of your own strategies for a different context. And in the installation part of it is you either rehearse it many times, or you can actually use anchors to really anchor in the strategy. And this is where strategies become extremely powerful, because what happens is you have strategies all the time. All of your behavior is guided by strategies. It's guided by that tote. You're testing and operating until you get what you want, you get that outcome. Until now, until today, probably most, if not all of your strategies have been unconscious. So now you're going to learn how to bring your strategies to consciousness. You can change your strategies or you can learn someone else's strategies. And we're going to be using rather light strategies, meaning very simple things. What can happen, though, is as you get better and better at this, you want to make sure that you're bringing, before you install a strategy. So if you're going to install a strategy that's like a major strategy that would create a major life event, like going from making a two-figure salary to a six-figure salary in 1 year, you want to check ecology. And you want to make sure that the strategy to do that, after you install it, know that it's going to become unconscious. It's very important that you do a well-formed outcome before you install a strategy like that, because that strategy will fire off unconsciously a lot of times. So that's the great thing, and that's also the scary thing. So say you know, it's about sales, it's about a sales strategy, and you haven't done a well-formed outcome and really put down where you want that strategy to work, who, with who, when, and where, it's very important that you nail that down, because if you don't, you could unconsciously go into a sales strategy at the worst times. Like, the worst case scenario I could think of is like somebody in your family has passed away and you're at a funeral, and unconsciously this thing gets fired, and then you're going into a sales strategy at a time like that. It would just be completely inappropriate. But because these are unconscious, that's how powerful they can be. And these strategies are going off and working while you're not even like so consciously aware of it. And that's the beautiful thing about it. But again, it's one of those things where be careful what you wish for and make sure you've used ecology and you have a well-formed outcome about the context in which you want that strategy to happen. And then there's utilization, and that's kind of the mapping across like you were talking about. It's taking a strategy that you use that's already effective, or that someone else uses that's already effective, and running new information through it. Okay, and all this is in your book on page 84 about the phases of strategy work. I don't think I have anything. All right. Elicitation is finding out what a person's strategy is, whether that's a strategy that they're using to create a problem or create a success.
And then design would be modifying it or
altering it? You can actually go down, get on paper and say, well, if I did this and I did that, maybe this would work, and then actually run that strategy through, or run the information through that strategy and see what happens when you do that. You can design strategies based on other people's strategies. So like say, for example, you elicit someone's success strategy and you tried it on yourself and it doesn't quite work, you need to make a few modifications. So that would be like designing you're tweaking it till you get what you want. Okay.
So that's where TOPE comes in to the picture, down on those last two, right? Test ecology, test.
Well,
before you install it, right?
The TOPE comes into the whole thing. Well, you don't have to do the TOTE. The TOTE is more about an understanding, about that's how behavior works. So you're going to see that when you're going through your different representational systems, when you're going through your strategy, you're testing and operating, and then once you have it, you exit. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions?